All right, Patrick, as I told these two guys off the top of Mackie and Judd, we all have choices. We get to choose when we wake up every morning what we want our attitude to be like. And I have chosen Twins optimism now that Alex Kirilloff and Nick Gordon are here to save the day and Byron Buxton is the MVP of the American League. I have woken up optimistic. Oh, and the Pirates are on the schedule. That helps
too. Yes. Well, the Pirates have won 8 out of 10, however, so that's frightening when you've lost 9 out of 10. But let me say that I think, didn't I say this yesterday, that it's time to put Kirilloff in left field and stop screwing around, except today he'll be at first base because the big fella is doing what we recommended yesterday also, right? Put him on the 10-day DL and then put him on rehab for 20 days and maybe 30 days from now, he'll be able to hit a hanging curveball. So, I kind of want to see Nick Gordon too. 2014, he got drafted. But you know what? He's only 25. You would seem that he'd be even older than that, but I think he's only 25. So he was 17 when he got drafted, obviously.
And Patrick, if you can't beat the Pirates, you're in big trouble, especially at home.
So it's baseball. I will say that. It's baseball, Judd. It's not who you play; it's when you play them. And sometimes the Pirates do not yet realize how bad they are. You want to play those teams in August when they realize how bad they are. Now, of course, teams might be saying that about the Twins in August. Boy, am I glad we're paying these guys in August now that they know how bad they are. But I do think that they're going to have to, start realizing that this is not a rebuilding year, but there's no sense in having all these fossils on this roster when as your backups and your bullpen and stuff like that. Let's start seeing what you got coming up here. Let's see Blazevic. Let's see some of these other guys. Matt Shoemaker, give me a break. They should have put that money in a pile and burned it right next to the Homer Bailey money. What do you think you're going to get out of him? 8 starts and he's going to get hurt. It was just idiotic. I think that they made some ungodly stupid decisions in the offseason. And Akil Baddoo is starting to look like a pretty bad one, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, yesterday he had a double and a triple and a double, but the double was actually a home run because some guy jumped over the fence and basically swatted it back into the field. The guy's got more extra base hits in his first 10 games than any Tiger in history, and that includes Al Kaline. So, the boy, the genius has had a bad off season and some other decisions they made. So,
but Akil Baddoo, so he was a second round pick, I think,
yes,
for the Twins like 5 years ago. It might have been the last draft of the Terry Ryan regime. So he wasn't, I don't think he was a Falvey Levine guy coming in. So that,
no.
So his last year with the Twins, he played Fort Myers High A in 2019 as a 20-year-old. He only played 29 games, batted .214, and had an OPS below 700. And so they looked at him and they were just like, "All right, I know he's only 20, but he's a lost cause." Why weren't they able to mold him? Why would they cut baits?
I think, Phil, the big thing is he was hurt all the time, and that was another thing. Of course, if it was being hurt all the time was the standard, Byron Buxton would have been released. So I don't know, left-handed hitter, second-round draft choice, and they just didn't have room on the 40-man because they had to get Dietrich Enns or somebody like that on there. One of those. I always say, give me a pencil. I'll find you 8 spots. Don't worry about it. I can find you spots in a hurry. But I'm still, we talked about it yesterday, but I still can't figure out what the hell they were doing when they got rid of Stashek for one game. Sean Anderson came over there because he pitched two days in a row, right? 2 days in a row. Yep. He pitched 2 days in a row. They might need Sean Anderson, who basically never left the Twin Cities. He went, came over from St. Paul. He went back. And then they couldn't put him on the roster for the West Coast road trip. It was just idiotic. What are they doing? They get so fancy. And they get so, you know, and they let the manager say, boy, I think I might run out of pitchers tomorrow. Well, you know, pitch Williams Astudillo then. God almighty. Just the way they think they're, geniuses with these shuffling these last 15 spots on the pitching staff drives me nuts.
Patrick, you are saying exactly what I told Phil before. This is like a marriage. In the first 2 years, you see few flaws, right? Like yeah. Alvy and Rocco, you're like, this is great. You guys do stuff differently. And this is year three, and you wake up and you're like, I'm starting to hate this person.
that's what this is.
Everything's going wrong, and the marriage is coming off the rails, and now we got problems.
Wow. Yeah, but you've been married for 20 years, haven't you? I've made it 30 plus. What the hell? It's
but like year three wasn't fun.
No, but let's just use logic. I like a lot of the stuff they do. I think they work hard they got ideas on how to make people better, but don't outthink yourself on every little thing. And don't end up out in Oakland urinating away a game and with Devin Smeltzer sitting out there, who you're not going to use if the game goes to the 23rd inning. You know, come on, don't be that stupid. And they've had a few of those, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So you know who I talked to today, guys? I'm doing a piece on, I'm trying to write a little something on Sunday about how, Steph Curry's here next week. And he had that unconscious streak where I don't know if you guys watch any NBA, but he was making shots mm-hmm. that were incredible. Yeah. 50% of his threes, 29, 30 footers off one leg. So I talked, I was trying to get a hold of some shooters, you know, who are great shooters. I talked to Blake Hoffarber today, and he and Steph were in camps together 2 summers in a row. These NBA camps, which just happened, you know, that was just an accident. But I'd forgotten that, he made the butt shot. And we all remember that. And ESPN's still talking about it 16 years later. But he was, I'd forgotten the shot he made for Tubby to beat Indiana. Yep. You remember that one at the end of Big Ten tournament? Tubby running around like a complete maniac on the field and the court. And I looked it up, and like in 2019, the Big Ten network was still calling it the greatest shot in Big Ten tournament history. Wow. So
there's a documentary, Patrick, still on about it, and they show it all the time.
On the butt shot.
Big Ten Network. On the golfer shot.
Oh, that game.
Made for
really?
Tubby. Yeah, that game.
Okay.
Like a half-hour documentary.
I just saw a little clip on it. And I'd forgotten that Tubby running around going nuts. And that kept Tubby's streak of 20 win seasons alive, which eventually blew up, of course. But now he's trying to have a 10 win season in High Point, but that's a different. But anyway, Hoffarber is he watches his old buddy Steph and is a little amazed by it. So.
You know, I feel like Hoffarber was like the Kalscher for 1 year, but Hoffarber's been gone for almost 10 years, what, 7, 8 years or something. Have they had a good shooter besides no. 1 year of Kalscher since Blake Hoffarber?
No, but Kalscher had 1 year, but Hoffarber was a great shooter. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it was not like he fell off the planet. It's just, you know, nobody, if he had been playing in this era, he'd be taking 12 or 13 threes a game, right? I mean, they'd just be running stuff for him to throw up threes because he'd have a chance to make one. He didn't say that. I'm saying that. But you know, back then, the three was, okay, we left him open, or we need it. We'll take the three, right? We'll take the three. It's only, how old is this phenomenon? 7, 8 years? 6, 7 years, the three-point phenomenon?
Yeah. Like the crazed, the obsessed.
Yeah, yeah. They're taking 35 or 40 of them. Listen, I'm actually going to write this, but I grew up, that's what I loved about basketball, the long-range shooter, when it was a two, you know. But the shooter, the outside shooter. But that's because it was a rarity, you know. That's because they only took 8, 9 shots a game that would be from three-point range at the most. So if you had a great shooter, Trent Tucker, somebody like that, it was wow. They'd set two screens for Trent Tucker to get a 23-footer. Now it's any idiot who wants to throws one up, right? That's what I hate. That's what I hate about it. You know? Jared Culver, get in there and shoot some threes, buddy. You're only going to play 4 minutes, but we want to see if you've found that knack yet. It's,
yeah, we blast confetti whenever Josh Okogie hits a three. Right?
Yes, right. But they have no. Here's what the problem is: they have no standard for who shoots them. Everybody shoots them, so that's the deal.
It's accurate.
Hey, by
it's
the
accurate.
Way, I saw this two-day-old stat, I think, from Buster, that he got it from some stat guy. They baseball coming into this weekend or going into Thursday, 4,800 strikeouts and 4,000 hits so far this year. And the team batting average is 230. And, I mean, the overall league batting average is 230, and it was – As recently as a couple of years ago, it was 253. So, wow, what are we going to do?
Oof. Yeah, strap in.
You can't have a 230 betting average in your league. I don't know what you're going to do about it, but wow, it's
lower the mound, move it back a couple inches.
I think that's what you do, Phil, is move it back to 60. You know, move it back.
So what is it now? 60 feet, 6 inches. 60 you go, feet, you go 61,
62 feet. You go 62 feet. Don't you go back 18 inches?
It would make a huge difference. People would think, what difference? Does. No, it would take a velocity tick off. Like it would make a difference.
I'm not sure about velocity, but the reaction time is what it would change. It, you know, maybe Miguel Sano could foul a ball off once in a while. You know,
yep.
So if it was 60, I think that's the simplest fix. Don't you?
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The things that they're doing with trying to change the baseball, that only helps after the contact is made.
Yes.
Right? You need to create more contact, period.
Yes. And I think that that's the easy solution. And now the arm health guys will start saying, you're risking more arm injuries. Well, maybe you don't move it back until, college or something. But, and, you know, I think, you know, you're just going to have to, I think what it means is you can't throw 108 straight pitches, right? I mean, because it might be too hard on the arm to do that.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, Pat, we got to bounce, but I want you to enjoy the drama that is Jake Cave's Iron Man streak. He has played in all 17 games, and we'll see if he plays in an 18th consecutive game. To start the season for
there's
the Twins.
There's no chance that he's going to be one of the – there's supposedly other roster moves being made. You don't suppose he's one of them. I guess not with Miguel on the deal.
So Gordon up, Kirilloff up, and then
– Well, Gordon has to be up because it's not because, okay, it's Nick Gordon time. It's because Riddle's on the – they have backup infielders. They needed him. Oh, so
perhaps
hopefully
he could have fielded that ball at second base on Wednesday instead of Blankenhorn trying to boot it into right field.
Mrs. Mackey, Mrs. Zulgad, and Mrs. Ricey could have fielded that ground ball. I just watched it again. It was triple dribbled. Unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah.
It was very
and everybody's mad at Rocco for having him out there. That's one of his positions, and if your owners give you that person as a player, you should be able to use him and expect that a veteran infielder can pick up a six hopper and throw it to first base. You know, I have a hard time getting mad at the manager because he didn't anticipate that Travis Blankenhorn couldn't make that play. You know, I cannot get mad at that one.
It reminded me of that play when Nishioka in 2012 had come back after, you know, his, all right, he's finally back. He's going to play second base. And they were playing in Cleveland. It was a day game. And right out of the gate, first inning, just a tailor-made two-hopper. And he reacted to that two-hopper as if it was a grenade being fired from a bazooka. And he winds up face down on the ground.
Tom Kelly, scouting report to Dark Star when he picked him up at the airport before an exhibition game had been played. How's it going? Japanese kid can't play.
Yep.
I was amazing. Watching infield. All right, Jets.
All right, see you, Pat. All right, that's Rapping with Royce. By the way, that edition of Rapping with Royce, powered by our friends at Wamatech. If you are listening to this on a broken down phone, tablet, or laptop, Wamatech is here to help you. So they source pre-owned devices directly and pass the savings on to you. They'll even buy your old device for cash, buy, sell, trade in, whatever you need. Wamatech.com. That's Wamatech.com.